Last weekend, the U.S. Senate gave final approval to a spending bill that included a controversial measure that rolls back a key provision of the Dodd-Frank banking reform law. At issue, a rule that prevented federally insured banks from dealing in exotic and risky securities, the kind that blew up and played such a big role in the financial crisis. Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren fought hard against the change, which she says will allow a handful of big banks to gamble with taxpayer money. Here's what she told NPR yesterday morning.
This is a provision that Citigroup lobbyists literally wrote. I think that tells you what was really going on here. They want to be able to juice their profits. A half dozen of the largest financial institutions in this country want to be able to take riskier bets. And hey, if it doesn't work out, they want the U.S. taxpayer to bail them out. I think that's a bad idea.
As originally written, the Dodd-Frank law required banks to create a separate subsidiary to do their trading, to protect customer deposits from this kind of risky trading. The question now is, what will happen to the Dodd-Frank law going forward? Will it be further weakened with a new Republican majority set to take over the Senate in January? Joining us now is one of the authors of the law, former Massachusetts Congressman Barney Frank, for whom Dodd-Frank is named. And Congressman, good to have you back on the program. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad to have a chance to talk about this issue, and I'm very happy that it's getting this attention. I think that's the good news that came out of this.
Well, the good news, we heard Elizabeth Warren explain what that measure that the lawmakers inserted into the spending bill will do to the Dodd-Frank law. How do you explain the rule that they essentially killed and why it was important?
I want to begin by acknowledging there was a very good column by Paul Krugman about this in the Times on Monday, that it's not one of the central provisions.
Yeah.
And in fact, it was added later in the bill. But it is an additional safeguard. We did a lot in that bill to change the way in which derivatives were traded. They were terribly reckless, the people in the financial industry with derivatives. AIG is the poster case. Ironically, the founder of AIG is now, on behalf of the company, suing the federal government because he dislikes the way in which the government responded to AIG's irresponsibility. I have said it's kind of like the arsonist suing the fire department for water damage. But what you had was these people were making these deals and then not having the money to back them up. So we did a number of things to protect the way in which derivatives were traded. Those, fortunately, have not been weakened by this amendment. In addition, what the bill said in the end was banks should not do this kind of trading on their own. That's what the Volcker Rule says. They can do some of this trading for their customers and a very little bit with their own money. But this provision said they should not, however, do it in the regular bank where you have deposit insurance protecting depositors' money. We want them to set up a separate subsidiary so that if there are problems in the trading of the derivatives, it will never leak into the area where deposits are federally insured. So it's one more safeguard.
I see, one more safeguard. So that's gone now. But as you said, there are other safeguards in there. Congressman, let me play another cut from Senator Warren, who spoke to NPR yesterday. She described how this measure was attached to the omnibus spending bill that a majority of lawmakers and President Obama felt they had to support and sign into law in the president's case. And she suggested that this tactic could spell big trouble for the future of financial regulation. Here's what she said.
And what it means, if this works, is they can just kind of keep slipping grenades and attach them to, you know, must-pass spending bills, and pretty soon we have no financial regulations at all.
That's a pretty dire prediction, or not prediction, but concern. Are you concerned about that?
Very much so, but that's why I said I come out of this maybe oddly optimistic for this reason. I was afraid that as the memories of the financial institution's irresponsibility that caused the crash, as those memories fade, as the economy improves as it is, that we'd get back to a situation where the only people paying attention to issues like this were the big banks, were the large financial institutions lobbying for weakening. And that's clearly what the people in Congress thought, and to my disappointment somewhat the president. That is, they said, well, look, this isn't one of the central provisions. We have other things attracting attention. We can probably just do this and get away with it, in effect. And I'm very pleased that there has been this outcry. I'm very pleased that you and I are talking about this now. Frankly, since I retired in January of 2013, the only issue where anybody has cared this much about what I thought was on the Defense of Marriage Act, obviously a matter of national significance. So I am encouraged, and my concern was precisely what Senator Warren articulated, that this would be a precedent for further stealthy efforts to do this. The danger, of course, is this. We do know that financial reform is popular, and they won't take it on head on. The Republicans have proposed repealing health care, Obamacare outright. They've never done that with financial reform because they don't want to stand up and vote against it and ask their members to. So the danger was that they would do it in this way, and the response has been very encouraging. And I think what we have demonstrated here, even though we didn't win on this particular provision, is that method won't work, that there won't be any stealth repeals. So I'm encouraged.
And you're saying they won't be stealth?
The president would do this again.
Right. So they won't be stealth repeals because people are paying attention to it, essentially, you're saying.
Yeah. In other words, here's the deal. Members of Congress did not want to do this out in the open.
I see.
If
right.
they did, they would have. They thought this would give them cover. It turns out this method does not give them cover, and I think that will deter them from doing more of it.
Interesting. Let me ask you one more question. As we mentioned, you've been out of Congress for a while now. You were there till last year. As you watched the sort of successful efforts last week to weaken at least this one provision of your law, did it make you glad you're no longer working in Washington, or did it make you mad that you couldn't be there to fight it?
No, it was more than that. People have asked me if I retired because of the rancor. Look, I was there for 32 years, and I was in government for 13 years before that. After 45 years, I was 72 years old, I was tired. But I didn't retire because of the rancor, and to be honest with you, I'm very good at rancor. Rancor is one of my strong suits, and expressing rancor is frankly easier, much less of a strain, than trying to put a complicated piece of legislation together. But I was pleased, as I told you, that people cared enough about what I thought. So that's what's encouraging. I'm retired. I'm a has-been. And the fact is that I've done more media commentary on this particular provision than anything else other than DOMA since I retired. That's what gives me hope. That is, this effort to slip something through didn't work. And that's why it's relevant that this isn't one of the central parts of the bill.
Right.
In other words, if we were able to muster this much opposition and this much attention and this much ability to discuss in the media what really happened over a relatively obscure provision, I'm encouraged that we'll be able to beat them if they try it on another time.
All right. Barney Frank served as a congressman from Massachusetts from 1981 to 2013. You're anything but a has-been, Congressman. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate
it. Thank you.
Stay with us. Coming up, should restaurants abolish tipping? I'm Lisa Mullins.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.